Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2024, the day after probably the most important cultural event in the world, which is St. Patrick's Day, which was yesterday. And it's also a couple of days after we celebrated the 30th wedding anniversary of Jim and Tracy at the Fields Golf Course in Ithaca here with a anniversary party of about 40 family and friends, mainly family of Jim and Tracy. It was an outstanding evening. Today's question comes from Shannon. And actually, we're going to answer two questions in one. Her first question is, what was the most difficult thing we went through as a couple, and how did they get through it? And that was a very interesting question, and it was different, or we're interpreting it differently, than Mikkel's question, who asked a similar question. When we were answering her questions. That's using the word questions quite a bit. But anyway, I'm going to begin, and then Mom is going to chime in, and as we typically do. But normally, I like Mom to begin it. But I'm going to start this one by asking the question, if you were to buy a brand new automobile, and in today's market, well, Malik's looking at brand new trucks, well, used new trucks that are in the $40,000 range, but brand new ones, comparable new ones, are in the $60,000 range, he's telling us. So that's quite an expense. In fact, I told Malik that was more expensive than the first two houses that Mom and I bought. But the question is, okay, so you buy the truck, and what do you do with it? You've got $40,000 to $60,000 invested in that. And if you do nothing, if you park it outside all year round, let the hot summer sun and the cold, bitter winter weather with salt and whatnot get on it, if you do not keep maintenance up on it, and maintenance is expensive, what happens to that valuable piece of property? Well, it's not long before it's not worth very much. It loses its value because you did not maintain it. You didn't take proper care of it. And in our married life, now I'm reading it specifically to Shannon's question. In our married life, Mom and I, for many of those years, tried to make a living, or I shouldn't say that, tried to support our family on my teaching salary. And because for a number of years, Mom wasn't working because she was home doing things for you guys and canning and planting and doing garden work, just making the home the beautiful nest, refuge that it was for all of us. And so every penny counted. And we had to save our money. We couldn't afford payments. So everything that we bought, we had to save enough money to buy, or at least get a significant portion of it saved. And so along that line, the question is, or the way we're going to interpret the question, the most difficult thing that we've done, and I don't mean difficult in the normal sense of its use. I mean, it's one of those, it's easy to say and hard to do, but we worked at making our marriage the best that it could be. In other words, we didn't want to leave the car out in all bad kinds of weather and not maintain it. If we would do that for a new vehicle, which was considerably less important than a marriage, why would we not do the same thing to our marriage? So we're going to interpret the question then as, what did we do? And it was difficult at times for several reasons. But like any other marriage, you go through difficult times and great times, and you hope the great times outnumber the bad times. But through it all, Mom and I did a few things that we thought were important. And the one I've already, or we already answered in Mikkel's fourth question, that is we made Christ the center of our marriage. But in addition to that, Mom and I always communicated. Mom and I always respected each other's opinions. That's not to say we agreed with them. But sometimes we would reach a stalemate, and what do you do? Well, you get back to the definition of love that I used at Jim and Tracy's wedding anniversary party. My focus was on your mother, on Karen, and making her happy. And particularly early in our marriage, up to the age of 24, which is my age when we got married, the only person I was accountable to was myself. And I was not a very disciplined self. And so, and I was a quick-tempered self. And so, early in our marriage, it was, I had to really go through a self-discipline. Hey, what's really important to you, Mike? Kind of process to make our marriage successful. And I trusted and respected Mom's opinion more than my own. In addition to that, her happiness was more important to me than my own. And so when we reached those moments of stalemate, I asked myself, what is the answer that will make Karen happy? Because I trust her opinion in most cases more than I trust my own. Because every time she makes a decision, we're happy. Because it always turns out to be the right decision. We would always... An important decision, we would always spend a considerable amount of time respectfully discussing each other's opinion and evaluating it and evaluating the pluses and minuses and trying to apply it to our situation. But we always talked, and we always talked out of respect. And we never let the sun set on any anger between us. And if it did, if it was getting close to bedtime and we hadn't resolved the issue, and sometimes we slept on it overnight, but it wasn't due to we were too angry to discuss it. It was, we just thought that we needed some more time to evaluate it. But one of us would apologize, and usually it was me, because I was the hothead, and my apology included a recognition that Karen had the best solution to whatever the issue was. Am I right so far, hon?
Pretty much.
Well, go ahead.
You said everything I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where did you live often?
That typically, if we had something that looked like it was going to be irreconcilable, or rather than demanding that my way is the right way, we would always, in an effort to make the other person happy.
I would always give in. Some things just aren't important. You know, there's a lot of things in life that it's an opinion, it's a selfish opinion. And when you think about it, is it really important? I mean, there's some things that was important, such as rearing our children and making the right decisions there. But some things is like, should we buy this or should we buy that? Or should we go here? Should we go there? Those things are not really important decisions. I mean, it's not worth arguing about. And I think we both felt that way. Right, Mike?
Well, yes, 100%. But when I was wrong, Karen would not hesitate to point out that I was wrong. And then she would shame me and send me to my room, and I couldn't come out till I agreed with her.
Right.
No, of course.
Does that seem right, you guys? You know the story. Who's the easygoing one?
Yeah. So anyway, back to her question. How else did we work? Shannon wanted to know how, in her question, how we resolved the issue. And Mom made, after all these years, well, be 60 years coming up this August that we've been married, made just one of the most profound insights that I hadn't thought about in 60 years. And that is, all I knew was I loved your mother. All I knew is her happiness was more important than mine. But the different, when you get married, or when we got married anyway, we were so focused on the newness of, I mean, we came from pretty strict Catholic upbringing, and premarital sex was not an option. There were things that you didn't swear in front of a woman. A woman didn't smoke in front of a man. Otherwise, she'd get known as a hussy. I mean, there were a lot of those kinds of conventions that were, well, they were cultural. And there were some religious in there. So we came up from a fairly, specifically by today's standards, a fairly strict upbringing. And I forget where I was going with that point.
You were answering Shannon's question.
Yeah.
Which was?
Well, how did we get through those tough times? And so I guess what I'm saying is,
we tried not to get mad at each other because of their opinion. You know, we thought about the other person's opinion, and I think, to tell you the truth, I think we broke the both of them down, you know, and said, well, what about this? And then, you know, if we had strong feelings one way or the other, we kind of explained our reason and came up with a decision. It was always one way or the other. You know, there was concessions, and what wasn't really important wasn't really important. Don't you agree?
Yes, 100%. And but I had mentioned that the time of life we were in, society was very conservative. There were very strict behavior rules for both men and women. there were expectations. You know, for example, one of them was, and we were right in the middle of when it was began to change, a woman's place was in the home. She was the caregiver, and she raised the children, and she cooked the meals, and yada, yada. And it was a man's job. Main function was to provide the income to support the family. And as time, well, I don't have to tell you, we look at today's society with two income families, both parents working. And when mom and I were first married, I didn't do laundry. That was mom's job. I didn't know how to do laundry. I didn't cook. Probably the biggest domestic chore I could do was vacuum. I could run the vacuum cleaner. But everything inside the home was mom's responsibility. And I conceded that. Mom took care of the money with us, for us. Did an outstanding job all these years. But we had agreed, and that was probably a little bit different, don't you think, for the time. But you were the better person to make those financial decisions. And when I would come in with a request, hey, can we get this or that? And mom would look at the budget and she would render, no, we can't afford it now. But we'll put it on our list, our priority list of things that we wanted or needed. And that changed frequently as needs changed. But the point is that...
compromise and discussion.
Yeah. Well,
communication.
Yeah. But it also what changed over the... I'm talking about looking back at it from 60-year perspective, looking back. Our love changed. How I felt at the beginning of our married life to your mother. I mean, I told her I loved her. I want to marry you. But my concept of what that meant, the commitment that is required, the responsibilities that are required, the accountabilities that I had no idea what that was. All I knew was I wanted to spend the rest of my life with this woman. And we had no idea. I didn't come from a big family, although my brother made up for us with his 14 children. But I didn't, essentially I was an only child. My sister, was my youngest sister, was 10 years older than I was, and my brother was 20 years older than I was. So Gordon, my brother, was extremely important to me as I hit my teen years. He became my second father. And he guided me through some pretty unhealthy habits that I had. But the point is that I had no idea what marriage meant. And all I knew was I wanted to be with Karen for the rest of my life. And I was going to do everything I could. And it scared me when we proposed. I was relatively sure Karen would accept, and I proposed, but she...
I was going to say, what?
Yeah, she proposed to me.
Sure I did.
On the steps of St. Mary's of Redford.
I proposed that we wait.
At 11 p.m. on a Friday night, I remember that. And I remember I lived about 15, 20 miles from Karen. And I remember driving home after that saying, okay.
What did I just do?
Exactly. and asking myself, hey, this is permanent, pal. Divorce is not going to be an option. And you've dated a lot of girls. Is this the one? Have you dated enough to know? And I had to think, okay, what scares me? You know, why wouldn't this work? And the pluses, mom was such a good person. She was the one question I kept asking myself over and over and over again was, do I want this woman to be the mother of our children? And there was never any hesitation about that. Just intuitively, I knew she was going to be a good mother. And it was probably because I had a good mother, but that I could recognize that. So my point, getting back on target, is that as our marriage went on, obviously the problems would change, time would change, and most importantly, our love for each other changed. It was, and it never got weaker. It got stronger because we were now engaged, as I mentioned a little earlier, in some of those, what happens when we have a difficulty? What about the responsibilities? What about the accountabilities? We had never been through those. And the key was we were sharing each one of those issues and accountabilities. We were sharing them. So we came into our marriage with our own personal set of values that were pretty close because, again, we were both Catholic at school education. And so we didn't have a whole lot. Would you agree with that? We didn't have a whole lot of differences?
No, except that you like to spend money. And I thought we should put it away for our family. Would that be correct? We had to figure out how you could get everything you want.
Well, I tried never to be self. It wasn't what I wanted. It was what we wanted.
What you always thought we needed.
I was just going to say that what we needed.
Yeah.
And again,
a new car and a new.
And well, everybody knows. If I believe in something, I'm. It's not like being slightly pregnant. I'm all in. If I believe it, I believe it. Now that doesn't mean, contrary to what you guys have said to me, doesn't mean I won't change my mind. In fact, I like to have my values challenged because it helps me evaluate the validity and the strength of my values. And if somebody can change my opinion on something, that helps me become a better person. But, you know, I'm not going down without a fight. I'm going to argue it until in my mind.
Especially if it's a shiny new car.
We bought one just before we got married, I guess, and then we bought that Pontiac station wagon. But everything else was secondhand, primarily Timke vehicles that was so highly prized by our children.
Well, that's so they could have a car.
I know.
You had yours.
But anyway, back to my point, our values were different going into the marriage. And so that forces you into a position where you want to say, my values are your values. And you don't want to get into that position because that is a position that leads to conflict and disrespect. And obviously it affects your ability to love the other person because you're putting your personal values ahead of your, in this case, your spouse's. So over the course of time, our values changed and our love changed, but the constant to it was, and this is the answer to your question, Shannon, we got through all of those times because our priority was always focused on the happiness of the other person. When we needed a tiebreaker, am I right, hon?
I wouldn't say it was a tiebreaker. I think we both just reconsidered, is this really important?
But wouldn't by a tiebreaker, I mean not the actual decision, but the reason for the decision was always if this. Well, I remember one of the toughest decisions, Shannon. It didn't fall into the category of making it didn't fall into the category of making our marriage a success. But I wanted to be a head football coach. And I had come through a very, I'd spent, how many years? I'd spent 7 or 8 years working for some of the best head coaches in Catholic schools. The first 10 years I was in of my educational, my profession, I was in Catholic schools. And at that time, the Catholic League in Detroit played the best football in the state. And I was privileged and lucky enough to work for some of the best high school head coaches in the Detroit Catholic League. In fact, one staff I was on at Dearborn Sacred Heart, I think we had 10 or 11 coaches, and every single one of them went on to become not only a head high school coach, but some of them even coached college football. So I at about my seventh year, I felt I was ready to make a move, and I had to go sink or swim on my own. And I started applying for head jobs around the state of Michigan and got one. Manistee Catholic Central offered me. I think I had one or two other offers, but Catholic Central had exactly what I wanted. It was a Catholic high school, number one. But that was 250 miles away from Livonia, where Mom and I were living at the time. And Mom... neither of us had really traveled a whole lot back in those. We weren't as mobile a society back then. And so when we moved up there, I had the good fortune of having a football staff that were going to work on my staff that were there that could advise me about where to live, what buy, purchase, who are people or things that we should avoid and whatnot. But Mom had no one up there. And we were extremely graciously welcomed by the Catholic Central parents, and which really went a long way. But Mom cried all the way up to Manistee, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because why?
I wasn't going to have anybody around, especially family, to help me or talk to, or no friends.
And, you know, when we got done, I told you how we broke our decisions down. And it finally, after, I would say days of back and forth on whether I should take the position, it came to the moment of decision. Am I going to take it or not? And do you remember what you said to me?
It's your decision.
You did say that, but you said it in a different way. You said, if this is what you want,
right,
I will go. And that is a perfect example of placing the happiness of the other person before you. I had my heart set. I had to be, well, I wanted to be a college coach, but I had to be a head football coach. And my best opportunity was 250 miles away. And when we moved up to Manistee, it was essentially just the two of us and Tracy and eventually Shannon. And that, and as it turned out, Mom loved it up there, didn't you?
Yep, I did.
And as a matter of fact,
I cried all the way home.
When we moved from Manistee to St. Louis, I was driving a moving van and you were in our car. And what did you do all the way from Manistee to St. Louis?
Probably cry.
You cried the whole way because?
I was going to miss the lake and the sun and the beach and the friends that we made there.
Yeah, Manistee was one of the highlights of our lives. So anyway, I think you get an idea, Shannon. There was no one big major problem that we had, or there wasn't a most difficult but because we chose not to let our car sit out in the weather and rust and not maintain it, we chose to work at our marriage. You know, we went to, they still have it, but you don't hear very much about it anymore. We went to a marriage and kind of that which was a weekend retreat for Catholic married couples. You know, we did things like that to bring some kind of spiritual growth with us.
And we, our friends were same values, and that always helps if you have friends and that have the same values and the same, not necessarily interests, but want the same thing for your family, because it makes it a lot easier on your family. It makes it a lot easier on you guys making decisions and knowing where your kids are. And yeah.
Well, just one little example of that. You know, you guys all know, in fact, you call them Uncle Bob and Aunt Lee. And they, Lee was one of Mom's best friends, and Bob was one of my best friends before we got married. And so we had, or they, the two of us had children almost at the same intervals. And so we couldn't afford to go out and entertain. We weren't single anymore, and we had responsibilities. So at least once every weekend, we got together and we played cards, right?
Yep, bundled the kids up, put them on the couch. When it's time to go home, put them in the car and took them home.
Yeah, and it was because we didn't want to leave the care of our young children in some stranger's hands, number one. And number two, we couldn't afford to do it anyway, right?
Right.
So I hope that answers your question. Let me summarize it briefly now. The most difficult thing that we did was over a course of 60 years, which was we worked on trying to find, we placed an importance on our marriage and taking care of the family. And it wasn't a one-and-done kind of thing. It was a 60-year-long process of
making good decisions.
Making good decisions that we both agreed on.
Affected our whole family.
That affected our whole family. Because regardless of who made the decision, the whole family was going to be affected. So, and as you guys got older, I don't know if you remember, but occasionally we even started bringing you in on some of the decisions too. So, when, again, I'm trying to simplify it. When you place, you have to place your money where your mouth is. In our lives, we wanted our family and our faith to be the most important factors in our decision making and how we raised a family and the whole, throughout our whole life. Is there anything you'd want to add to that?
No, I think you covered it all.
All right. All right, well, then moving on to part two question, what was the most fun thing that we did? I'm going to let Mom start this one.
I think we took a lot of fun vacations. Just Dad and I, we went to Rome, and we went to, where were some of the other important places that we went to?
Nova Scotia, Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out west, down the west coast of the United States.
We just had a lot of fun trips, just Dad and I. But then we took a lot of family trips. I know right after, I think everybody was graduated, or maybe Tracy hadn't yet. I don't remember. But we went to, is that when we went to New England?
Yeah, Tracy was in school,
yeah,
or college at the time.
We went there and had a nice, Dad had a part-time job as a county commissioner. And we decided we were going to take that money and put it away and use it for something special that we wouldn't buy. So we decided to put it away and use it for trips. So that's how we were able to afford some of these trips that we took. They weren't expensive trips, but we were all together and everybody had a really good time. We had, like, we'd go down the coast and we'd shop, and the girls really enjoyed that. They were getting all their school clothes along the way. That was fun.
That L.L. Bean outlet, if you guys can reach that far back and remember that in Freeport, Maine, that was their world headquarters.
And that was Dad's favorite.
Oh, spot. Yes. Yes, it was.
I don't know about the girls, but.
Well, no, we bought a lot of theirs. Well, it was the whole town there.
Yeah.
Had fantastic buys. Go ahead.
Anyway, we had a lot of beautiful views traveling in Maine and down the coast there. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. And then we had, what was the other short trip that we took that was fun?
Well, all our camping trips up
to Otsego. Yes, camping was fun up in Otsego and thereabouts. You met many friends, that a lot of them that were there every summer, so you had a really good time with that. And then the biggest thing, I think, is when we all went to Ireland, which was a really big trip. I mean, it was expensive, the air flights and all that stuff, but oh my gosh, that was the best anniversary present Dad and I could have had, is have all of you with us for our, was that our 50th?
Yeah, 50th.
Yeah. And I think everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. That was one of our favorite trips too.
Yeah, I you know, as I'm listening to you, little teeny, almost insignificant memories pop back in. Like one, I don't remember how old Michael was, but when we went camping and we had made him his own little bedroom in the overhang on the trailer.
Yeah.
And I think it was Al Long made a wooden gate that we could put up there to keep him in.
Yeah.
And it was, as Michael was usually, when we were camping at that time, was usually the first one to go to bed. And I always felt like I was putting one of my dogs out
in
my kennel.
In the cage.
Yes, in the cage out. Because Mike had these, I remember him looking at me from, he was inside his bedroom and the gate was closed and locked and he couldn't get out. And looking at me, he was sucking his thumb and looking at me with these sad eyes that, you know, what are you doing to me, Dad? I mean, it was just a little teeny, sitting around the campfire. And then the girls going through the campground looking for boys and me.
Following them with a shotgun.
Exactly. Exactly. Just far enough back that they couldn't see me. Didn't know I was there.
Oh, yes, they did.
What were some of the other little...
I think our Ireland trip was just...
Yeah, the Ireland trip was the trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, it was.
And I guess what was... Sean wanted us to come to Ireland when she was there with Aquinas to see and enjoy what she was seeing and enjoying it. And that was a dream come true. But Sean introduced us to Ireland, and I felt like I finally made it back home. And absolutely loved every minute of it. And especially Sean, I will never forget Michael, your bus driver. He was in every respect an Irish. He could tell stories, he could sing. He was very
tour guide.
Yeah, he was a great tour guide. And taking you guys with us and seeing you react in the same way, we're talking about shared values here, that was very important for us, for you guys, to see what got Sean and Mom and I so excited about Ireland, and to see the happiness and the enjoyment you guys had on your face was a next level happiness for Mom and I. Wouldn't you say, hon?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's no way I would have wanted a party. That was the biggest present we could have had, was to be able to take all of you there with us. So that was an enjoyed anniversary.
That's why the most fun we have now, probably next to Ireland, is being with you when you're with your families and seeing you as parents have kind of the same values, kind of the same interactions. I mean,
and thoroughly enjoy your children.
Yes, you enjoy your children. I mean, look at how involved our your children are in your lives. I mean, they're already becoming your best friends, like you've become our best friends. And because of your respect for us, you've allowed us to become best friends with your grandchildren. And we're just happier in hell to see one another when we're away. The happiness we get and did get raising our family has now been passed on, and you can see for yourself the happy. And I don't know if I'm explaining it.
You are.
I love watching us when we're all together.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it is contagious. And how you guys look out for each other, and how you guys have surrounded, when somebody's got an issue going on, the whole family rallies to that person. The support is immense, and maybe you don't get necessarily a solution, but you can feel the love that is coming with that effort, and that in itself provides motivation.
Right.
Well, I guess, can you think of anything else we'd want to do? Thank you, Shannon, for the questions.
I can't remember. There is many tangents to the questions.
Yes, yeah.
We should probably be closed out.
Okay. Say goodnight, Mom.
Goodnight, Mom. thank you for the questions, Shannon. I hope we answered them for you. Yeah. If not, when we get together, we can have a good conversation.
Yeah, and I'm still looking forward to some night getting the whole family together and looking through pictures and old movies and watching your children react to some of the things that we did and you did. But anyway, we really enjoy answering these questions, and thank you for sharing with us.
Love you all.
We love you all dearly. Bye for now.